Good morning, Graham. How are you?
Good, good. Are you?
Fantastic. Resilience all the way, I guess. Heathrow shut down for the best part of a day. No
Yeah.
casualties. It just strikes me the
Suspicious.
isn't it? You expect chaos in these situations, don't you? Did we get it?
Yeah. We're good at chaos.
We are, aren't we? Is this the Johnson effect?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Starmer's yeah, he's pushing it, isn't he?
It's an interesting sort of lateral connection there. Are we thinking about Starmer and Northwood, or are we thinking about Starmer and Rachel Reeves' cuts, which are causing a mighty brouhaha among the great and the good, aren't they? Your putative cuts.
Yeah. I tend to think it's Rachel Reeves more than Starmer. Not going for the sustainable economy and realizing you can make far better profits in sustainable energy than fossil in the long term.
Interesting you say that, because all of these things, as you so rightly imply, connect rather rapidly. There's this account by this chap who just got out of Chelmsford, HMP, I think one of the Just Stop Oil protesters, who claims that his campaign was effective, well, just his campaign, in that oil and gas drilling has been ruled out of Labour policy. That was the state of things a couple of years ago. But now Trump's in the White House, drill baby drill and all that. You feel that overall Reeves has not really followed this up.
Well,
And
she's
so
missed a trick, you know. I mean, fossil is more expensive than renewable now, so the market is going to sort it out. But the UK has missed the opportunity to be a pioneer and corner the market in renewables. I
Great.
remember in 74 going to the international. Solar Energy Society meetings in the Royal Institution, and we had the lead in photovoltaic cells. It's recognized worldwide. But as usual, we just ignored it and lost the opportunity thanks to Tony Benn.
It's a curious conundrum. I dare say, were he still around today, he would voice regret at that particular set of decisions. What is this
Well,
about? Is
he
it?
did. I asked him. I
What did he
asked
say?
him when he published his last memoirs, and he just he admitted that he couldn't see the green movement as anything but a green party, and therefore the opposition. Therefore, he was against it. You know, it's that curious logic of the left that they can only take their particular version of policies.
It's ironic,
Know,
isn't it? Because the Green Party is widely viewed as being more or less where Ben was these days.
is it?
Well,
Well, they met, obviously they're making the same mistake then, yes.
it's the case of the Judean People's Popular Front and the Popular Front of Judea, I suppose, isn't it? Kind of.
Well, no, I think they can't well, political parties are too narrow, obviously. They fail in not being able to recognize the advantages of the opposing policies. Yeah, I think it's very good when one party steals the other party's policies. If they're good and they work, then that's what they should do.
Well, I
I
suppose
mean,
that's partly the fruit, isn't it, of talking, in Annie's bar in the tea room, and finding common ground, which, is a paradigm of the human condition.
yeah, and we have come together over Ukraine, which is, and that's, I think, going to may sustain Starmer's popularity in the end. because now Kemi Badenoch has gone against Green. She's gone against the Climate Act. I think has been, because as climate change gets worse and worse, it's obviously bringing converts to doing something about it.
A headline this morning is there of a particular glacier melting that could impact the everyday lives of 2 billion people, which is that to me is just the point where that gets to be a number of major cities across the globe or equivalent thereof. It's a sort of is that a sort of a public consciousness tipping point?
Well, of course, that's the thing that the global nature of, I mean, even Rory Stewart was saying the problem with global warming, it's a global effect, and therefore, as we only do 1%, Nigel Farage gets away with saying it's insignificant what we do. Which again is just demagoguery.
The same parochialism that you were saying Tony Benn exhibited way back in 74.
Well, it's making up arguments against the transition. There's simply no argument that we have to transition, hopefully before the point of no return, and the point of no return is a movable point. Which we haven't, we don't know exactly. It's more, it's
Relative to
impossible.
whatever effect our, the reversal of the depletion of the ozone layer, for example, might be having.
Well, that
Yeah.
just the depletion of the
Good
ozone layer.
morning.
Good morning. Good morning. The depletion of the ozone layer and the Montreal Protocol shows that when we act together, we can act globally and we can act successfully. Because that was what happened. And we all decided that we were going to move away from CFCs in fridges because we realized, and at that time we listened to the scientists and we introduced the Montreal Protocol and the whole of the ozone layer, I understand now, is actually starting to close. It certainly stops getting any bigger, that's for sure. And we need the same concerted joint action, which is what the Kyoto Protocol was supposed to be, what the Paris Agreement was supposed to be, and so on and so on. The problem is that although we all decided to do the right thing to stop the hole in the ozone layer or holes spreading and us ending up fried. We don't seem to be able to take the action that we need to take everywhere. It's that film, isn't it? Everywhere, everything, all at once. We don't seem to be able to do that. But I think because it affects so many more different parts of our lives. And I think even if, but we still have to try, if we've passed laws in this country, which we did under the last Labour government, we introduced the Climate Act and we introduced DEC, the Department of Energy and Climate Change, which then had its name changed by the Tories later and is currently now DESNZ, the Department of Energy Security and Net Zero. We've still got to try. We can't not try, even though we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And that's because we've realised it's not just one journey with one tipping point, it's several journeys of several different systems that operate globally. And they all have different tipping points, and all these different tipping points are starting to tip, unfortunately. I was reading that the Russians have decided to abandon vast tracts of Russia because it's ice is melting and the whole place is turning into a place where there's huge amounts of there's methane locked up in some of the tundra, and that of course is another potent greenhouse gas apart from CO2, carbon dioxide, Although it doesn't last as long in the atmosphere, it has a very immediate effect, cows particularly.
Indeed.
But it doesn't last as long. CO2
Well,
lives a lot longer, so is still the real one that we need to stop. So, we still have to try. We all of us still have to
it
try.
wouldn't stop Putin and Trump putting a mega resort on top of it, would it? You know, with
No.
a little, you know, a few convector heaters that tastefully displayed here and there.
Well,
Presume it's what's under the ground, isn't it? What's beneath the methane that is the terms in which these big players are treating what others would call ecosystems these days. And as you say, we live in an era of scorched earth policy, and an era of sort of sort of Saudi Mercedes in the desert abandonment, where the thing runs out of petrol, they just move on. So
We think.
how do we get this mojo, Montreal mojo, back then, guys?
Oh, well, if we knew the answer to that, then we'd be winning the Nobel Peace Prize or Nobel Physics Prize. I don't know. We're in a very bad place, I think, sort of globally, for people being willing to cooperate
Coalition of the willing, as it were.
With each other. The arrival of Trump has shown with breathtaking speed how easy it is to move from a position where you think that there's some forces of goodness in the world who are willing to cooperate with each other, to a position where you suddenly discover that there are, bad forces of evil and darkness, who are now bestriding the world stage and marching around saying, "You've got a bit of real estate which I want. I'm going to have it. You're my next door neighbor. I think you should be in my backyard, literally, and not a separate entity anymore." So, of course, I mean, if Trump's willing to say that about Canada or about Greenland or about the Panama Canal, of course he's got doesn't see why Russia shouldn't have half of Ukraine, because Ukraine is next door to Russia in the way that Canada is next door to America. I mean, these are very dark times where the priorities are not to do with trying to save the planet, but trying to own chunks of the planet. It seems that we've moved to that place.
Yeah, profit from it. Graham, what's your take on whether the Montreal mojo?
Well, Trump is closing down all the universities and research programs
Defunding
on
them. Yeah.
renewable energy, and so it's becoming a taboo subject. You can lose your job, and so I mean that's the point to respond to, is the censorship of the danger. There's a very good movie on the Russian meltdown. It's called not Jurassic Park, but
Pleistocene. Gorky Park. That's what we're
Pleistocene,
talking about. Yeah.
Pleistocene Park.
Gorky Park.
Pleistocene Park is a fantastic movie. It took 10 years to make,
It's
but
called
it's
what park? Sorry, Graham?
Pleistocene from the
Oh,
Pleistocene era.
Pleistocene era. Right.
Yes. And it's this scientist who decided that Russian civilization is over 10 years ago
Oof.
and moved to the north coast of Siberia and set up this Pleistocene Park. And he's re recently had a paper published in Nature magazine with his theory that the reason the permafrost is melting
Yep.
is because it's being insulated by the snow. Whereas in the Pleistocene, when there are millions more animals in the north, the snow would be scraped away by the animals in search of food. And therefore, when the temperature decreased, the permafrost would sink far deeper into the earth. So you get a permanent frost rather than a seasonal frost. So he's now there. That's about 15 minutes of the film. The rest of it is how he's trying to move bison back into the northern Arctic Circle.
I think I remember this. That's a father and son, isn't it? But this
It's the whole
chap
family.
was a, he was a sort of a mainstream scientist who got sidelined, if I remember,
That's
by
right.
the Russian establishment. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a park just outside Moscow,
Yeah,
and
it's a Russian David Bellamy sort of thing.
yeah, except David Bellamy was with a denier, wasn't
That's
he?
true. That's true. Yes. Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah. Which again, rather like the Tony Benn moment we discussed earlier, rather the extraordinary thought, isn't it? How mindsets have to evolve. Were he still with us now?
Yes, I mean,
Earlier
listen,
on, sorry.
you have to accept it's a very difficult thing for people to understand global warming. It's a very complex
Yeah.
process.
Without.
I mean, it's that people have to refute this attack on the scientists, the global warming scientists. And that's the climate change scandal of Lawson. This fake scandal has never been compensated for.
Not even my Nigella and her puddings, indeed, yes.
It's concrete actions by the climate deniers that is preventing action being taken, primarily by the fossil industries. Yeah, there's a global, very well coordinated campaign to slow down action against climate change, and which is obviously unlawful, and that's the other thing which has come last week is the Thames Tideway Tunnel, a
Yes.
program on Thames water, which completely bottled out. It didn't say anything about the cause of the bankruptcy of Thames Water.
Yeah.
They're
Is it
not
true that
saying
Michael
no.
Gove has been traced to a hole in the permafrost in Siberia at the moment, plotting his next move?
Well, he's denying his role in it.
Indeed, indeed. Well, the truth will out eventually. There was a piece, Bloomberg, the communications company, rather than Michael Bloomberg, was talking about the BlackRock CEO still promulgating in the era of Trump for the continuity of greening. So there are these, in the sense that Trump listens to the stock market, I wonder if this, or allegedly does, or watches it, insofar as he's able, whether there is one sort of chink in the armor here that may be of some consideration. Also, earlier on, Graham, I wonder if you could put this to Leona. You were saying that you feel that Rachel Reeves has, I think you said, missed the trick in terms of not going as far as she might in the current climate with the greening of the economy.
I don't think that's her priority anymore at all.
Why?
Because she got elected and she's now got all the Treasury officials telling her what she ought to be doing, and I think she's listening to them. I mean,
But she's a strong woman. She's got her own mind.
I think it's very difficult when you come into government and you have a vast array of people with huge, huge, huge experience. I think the tendency of everybody who comes into government is to start to listen to the officials who are very knowledgeable. I mean, why do you think all the senior politicians laugh so much at Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister? You're surrounded by Sir Humphrey, aren't you? It's very hard, to resist Sir Humphrey.
We
So.
haven't yet only Humphrey Ellis, have we, if that would be the correct designation. I mean, if she had lunch with you, I think she would be perhaps inspired to think a little differently.
I think once you're in those sort of upper echelons,
Smoke-filled rooms.
you're very protected from talking to others, aren't you?
Rock star, as it were. Yeah.
My understanding is that this business about abolishing the winter fuel allowance has been regularly floated by officials with new chancellors coming in ever since it was invented by Gordon Brown as a means of saving money. But she's the first one who's accepted it. Now, I mean, that could also be that she's the first one who's come in and found, that there were, it's not just that there was a black hole in the finances, it was that there were unfunded items in the current year. I think they knew that there were going to be some huge problems coming down the track in the future, but it was the unfunded items in the year that we were already in, because obviously the financial year of the government started on the 1st of April, and the election was in July, so we were already into the year. And the winter fuel allowance is obviously something that is paid out in year, and it also is paid out at a discrete moment in time. So it is something that if you are absolutely desperate, you could say, okay, well, we will get rid of that. Plus, I do think it is right that it was going to hordes of pensioners who really didn't need it. I do think they've probably drawn the line.
Rather like child benefit, yeah.
It was going to 11 million pensioners, of whom quite a lot didn't need it. However, I think drawing the line at the bottom, just so that a very, very much, much smaller number of pensioners get it, and saying only those who are in receipt of pension credit and who are the absolute poorest pensioners, I think that's probably drawn it too far. I mean, I think there were other ways of doing it, of giving it to, not giving it to anyone who's in the 40% tax bracket, for example, or giving it to people and then recouping it through making them pay an additional level of tax so
You
that
think of the
you
alacrity of
lost
the
the back of it.
HMRC, that shouldn't be beyond the wit of human mind, should it, to
No,
organise?
or people who are, even in the, in the tax bracket altogether. So, once your income is more than £20,000, maybe you don't need it if your income's less than 20,000. But I think the problem is that it's now only going to people who are on the very lowest amounts of income. So, I just think everything, if you look at the trajectory of what she's been doing, I don't think she came into government wanting to do half of these things. But I do think, why can't she look at her fiscal rules as well? Because it's quite obvious that some of what's happening is as a result of the fiscal rules, and also because of the we're not going to increase, national insurance, income tax, or VAT, which are three big levers, that she and Keir Starmer decided to put out of their own reach. How long is that going to last for the whole parliament?
It's very interesting you mentioned that. Talking to one of my other correspondents at another place, he mentioned how significant BlackRock investments are, the aforementioned BlackRock, in some of the urban devolutions coming down the pike, down free, like Freeport's, things of that nature. And the fact that, as you say, these levers become above government, which for some people might feel like a distribution of wealth upwards in terms of the overall fiscal plan. I mean, you might say that's realpolitik, but where does that stand in relation to greening, for example?
Well, that's where you get the refusal of the government to use law to recoup the black hole. I mean, the black hole was partially formed by the investors defrauding the public. So,
The big players.
yeah, well, the Blue Green London Plan versus the Secretary of State's was a fraud case. The Thames Water and Macquarie Bank defrauding the public of up to £40 billion.
So, you guys saying, do you realise what's happening in plain sight? Well, not quite plain sight.
They're just scared of the banks. They're scared to use the law to go against investors. I
And
mean,
that is a, yeah, sorry.
the first thing that happens when anyone gets any real power in relation to energy is they get taken up to the North Sea, put on an oil rig, and said, "Well, this is your economy. You have to get used to it, and you can't go against the wealth of the country." And it's a very powerful argument. And they simply roll over and give up on green and come out with statements like Kemi Badenoch, that the green energy is going to make the country poor.
Well, the investors in the what remains of the Conservative Party are, I suppose, are at play there, aren't they? She's on her upper somewhat, launching the campaign this week. Yeah, food for
It's
thought there.
populism, isn't it? It's populism. She should know better. And they got the it does work to a certain point, but hopefully the turn, the whole world is on the turn, realizing that populism simply doesn't work. I mean, America has begun the riots in the street and destroying Tesla cars and because people are losing real
Works
money
of
and
art
real.
that they are.
Yeah, but I don't think America is going to just sit there and lose their jobs and lose their country and lose their civilization. I mean,
Now, there's another kind of tipping point. So there is a sense in which you seem to be describing, as it were, the turning around of the proverbial oil tanker, and then suddenly the economics bites you on the fundament, doesn't it?
what is the point at which people go out on the street,
Strategy.
at which people start fighting? And of course, the lawyers have already started. They're taking the government officials to court, and they're going to take Elon Musk to court. So they're going to try and get them back into court again, and that is the constitutional way to do it. And so it'd
And
be like
amongst other things, it buys time at the very least, doesn't it?
it'd be like a Liz Truss event. I think, and it fits in. Zelensky is now putting Trump on the spot by saying, "Okay, where's the peace? Where's the ceasefire?"
Indeed. I mean, the midterms are coming up in 2026. We've got elections coming up in May, haven't we? It can be Badenoch launch its campaign ever so quietly in rural Buckinghamshire. Straight away, Greg Smith, one of her sort of acolytes, says we should form a pact with Reform UK. And Farage is now doing another sort of schottische with Rupert Lowe. And you were saying at the top of this, we're very good at control chaos, if indeed it's control, Graham. Given what we've just been saying
I
about
think so.
Rachel Reeves, what do we think about the shakedown in May?
I think the Tories are going to do very badly, actually.
They seem to be almost relishing the prospect somehow.
Well, I think Badenoch's not a very good leader for a start off. I mean, I can't believe that there's some. I mean, it's almost unbelievable that they've selected her as the leader, but they have, and she's just really not very good, as it turns out. All this nonsense about I'm not going to announce any policies, and she's only announced about two things, and one of which was this dreadful nonsense of saying, oh, let's just try and ignore the fact that there is an absolute climate crisis and an ecological disaster happening in this country. No, I'm just going to try and get votes back off Reform, which seemed to be, I mean, they lost seats because they lost votes to Labour, the Greens and the Liberal Democrats. So, embracing this particular policy is not going to win back votes from anybody who went to Labour, the Greens or the Liberal Democrats, is it? So she just seems to be fishing in one pool, in one direction. Anyway, I think she's not been very good, and I think they're going to be. I mean, they were also at an absolute high point. I believe these set, this particular set of seats was at a point when they were doing really well in the polls. 5 years ago, they're on a 5-year cycle, I think, and so it would have been in 2020? No, 2021, because I think we stopped all the elections in 2020. So these elections were last held in 2021, when the Tories were still very popular. It was just after the vaccine rollout had started, and the Tories were getting a really good bounce. And it was before all the stuff about the lockdown parties had started to emerge.
And the misappropriated of funds, yes.
There had been quite a lot of fuss about PPE, which is coming back into the news because Michelle Mohn's husband's company is currently before the COVID inquiry, although they're doing it behind closed doors because the
Taken a
police.
while, hasn't it? Yes, yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
because, well, I think they're doing it behind closed doors because the police don't want to prejudice a potential prosecution. But so the Tories were in a very good place when these elections were last fought. And they are worried, and they should be, that having been in a, at a very high point at that point, that they're going to do really badly, including possibly, who knows, in Buckinghamshire. I don't know why she went to Buckinghamshire, but no doubt there is a reason. Maybe that's somewhere where they've got good polling. So she went to a place where they are going to do well.
Well,
But
there's
I
some
think
good polling, yeah. Yep, there was a big, yes.
their polling's been terrible for weeks. They've been behind reform.
It
And
can't
actually
be.
there's been several polls where Labour's also now behind reform. So it's one of those situations where it's split three ways. All three parties, Reform, the Conservatives and Labour, all seem to have about a third, a third and a third. Which makes, 30%, 30%, 30% makes 90%, and the other 10% seems to vary between pointing more towards the Greens and more towards the Liberal Democrats. So it might be interesting in terms of the squeeze on the other parties. But then again, there might be some of them that pop through as well. So I think overall, this set of elections, there aren't so many councils that are held by Labour. I think this is a raft of elections that is more conservative held authorities. So yeah, they could do really badly.
Yeah.
She must know that. She must know that.
She must do. I mean, in terms of the reactions from the other parties, there seems to be part of them that psychologically is saying, look, we need a constructive, effective opposition here. We need something to bounce off. We need something to react with, as it were, in terms of the synergy of democracy. Is the fact currently that it isn't there? And what happens to democracy in that case? I mean, one also thinks of the, and I suppose it's inevitable, harking back to your point earlier on about nicking the other side's policies, Graham, that Starmer is perceived as Tory light, and that was his strategy, and it's, it won him an election.
Yeah, but here you can't win with just one thing. You have to keep doing
What do you do for an
the
encore? Yeah.
correct. And I think this is the interesting point you mentioned earlier about what is the tipping point politically. I mean, I think in America, I think Bannon, in an interview, he came out with this crazy phrase. Truth is a modern idea.
Very Orwellian that, isn't it?
Going back before the Enlightenment, right? Well, he's
The Hillbilly Code.
works with Dugin, where he got the idea from. Dugin, of course,
Oh, wait.
is Putin's favorite
Oh, Putin. I meant, right, sure. Yes. Oh,
philosopher.
yeah.
So
Alleged.
that's the way that Bannon is running Trump for Russia, I think. Because it's Bannon who puts the crazy ideas into Trump's head. And Trump hasn't got a sort of a global integrated policy of any kind, except how can I make something out of this in some kind of deal. But I think now, when reality hits the fan and the results of his policies are painfully obvious to the poor, then they're going to react. That is that is a, he's creating a tipping point, which may be as bad as a revolution.
And I suppose the aim is for a bit of a civil disorder, which can then be cracked down upon, can't it? Yeah.
Well, this is that could be the symbol when he
Yeah.
calls out the army, and the
Yeah.
army refuses to shoot on the rioters.
Yeah. Just as a little sidebar, that young exchange student we mentioned last time, Becky from Yorkshire, has returned home to the UK in chains. Can you believe that? Been released by ICE, having been somewhere near where a deportation brouhaha was happening.
Really?
Yeah.
A girl from Yorkshire was put in
Yeah.
chains.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
Oh my God. I mean, I think the one that's been attracting everybody's attention has been the deportation of the 200, 250 Venezuelans, and the quotes from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, whatever ICE stands for. Apparently, the guy who runs it said, "Well, some people we're deporting because we've got evidence, and then there are other people we're deporting because we haven't got evidence, and the fact that we haven't got evidence proves that they're in Venezuelan
This is a
gangs."
genuine back of a fag packet we've got here. Yeah.
And they've been not even deported to Venezuela, because I'm not sure the Venezuelans accept flights incoming from the US at all. So they've been taken somewhere else where they've been imprisoned by the government there, all the Venezuelans, because the government there didn't want them. Where were they? They were taken somewhere.
Somewhere, presumably, with a just light on human rights.
Well, it was
From
Honduras or El Salvador, or
where there's an American sort of
yeah,
cohort colony. Yeah.
can't remember where it was, but it definitely wasn't Venezuela. It was somewhere much closer to the
Yeah.
US, and the government there has just imprisoned them all. So, and apparently loads of these people were all really happy when Trump was elected for some reason. He managed to persuade them all to vote for him. Why they didn't think that he was then going to turn around and start deporting people is anybody's guess, because he was very clear during the election. I mean, I really don't understand the Americans, why some of them. I mean, the group of people who said, "I am not going to vote for Kamala Harris because she and Joe Biden's policy towards Gaza and the Palestinians hasn't been good enough," I really hope they're absolutely delighted at what's going on, in terms of, I mean, what word has crossed Trump's lips over the breaking of the ceasefire by the Israelis, who have cut off water, cut off aid, shut down a water purification plant, and are now bombing Gaza again? What words have we heard from him about the need for a ceasefire? Absolutely nothing. Who has he been pressurizing in Ukraine? The Ukrainians, not the Russians. I mean, I hope these people are happy, because that's what they've created. That's what obviously what they wanted. It wasn't, Biden and Kamala Harris weren't good enough, but Trump is what we need in Israel.
Would it
Insane.
be true to say, yeah, indeed? I mean, I hear the righteous anger in your voice, so I think we would both share it. The common denominator, possibly a common denominator, in these things that you've been enumerating so eloquently, Leonie, is the fact that there's this sense in which Trump feels he can override due process in the way
Oh.
that Netanyahu has decided to sort of because I say so, we're not going to go to stage two, and because all the hostages have been released, irrespective of the concerns of his domestic population, possibly irrespective of the fact that if his government falls, he's back on those fraud charges. That sense of riding roughshod over authority, that sense of teenage rebellion, is that a trope here? And is that something, with all the contradictions of adolescence very often, the law of unintended consequences hitting them hard, as it eventually does?
Well, it's not teenage rebellion, is it? I mean, he has openly called for, and I believe some of the people who were
That's brand
involved
image,
in,
sorry. Yeah.
who were involved in trying to prosecute him for breaking the law last time on the 6th of January, when he tried to overthrow the American Constitution and remain in power, even though he had clearly lost the election. And he is now openly ignoring the judiciary. I mean, they've got all these checks and balances on presidential power in America, which, having been the president last time, he's very well aware of where all the attempts at the checks and balances are. And so he is going out of his way this time. I don't think he is being run by Bannon. I don't think Bannon's anywhere near the White House this time. I think this is Trump has learned all of the lessons, and I actually think he's surrounded by a much nastier group of people now, even than Bannon was nasty
That's
enough.
going some.
It really is.
Oh yeah, he learned his tricks a long time ago, but it was the lawyer, his lawyer, family lawyer, and Bannon, I think, who started him on that track,
Sure.
reinforced his method
But
of telling lies.
he's now imbibed, he's drunk from the Kool-Aid, and the Kool-Aid is now circulating instead of a bloodstream,
Terrible stuff, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
as far as I can see. And so he is now, if a judge turns around and says you can't do that because that's breaking the law, which is what happened over the deportation of the Venezuelans. First of all, the guy from ICE has said, well, we're just deporting people whether we've got evidence or not. We're just chucking them out. He didn't quite say because they're Venezuelan, but that was, the gist of it.
Yeah.
He
Yeah, but
yes.
the most significant thing he said was that I don't give a damn what the judges think.
Well, and then what Trump has then turned around and said is also that judge who's tried to stop me should be impeached. Now, another judge from a higher level, I think, has now turned around and said, hang on a
They have
minute.
to be arrested. He has to be arrested, right?
Well,
That's
it said
the
it's not up to the President of the United States to decide, which judges should be put on trial, which is effectively what impeachment is.
Well, that nobody's above the law, so Trump should be arrested along with his
Well,
Musk and
I think we know that that is not going to happen, Graham.
Well, it can be done
And
by it can be done
I think
by the police and the
it's
army,
the
backed up by the
contingency,
army.
it's the principal contingency, isn't it? Whether or not it happens, is that what you're
But
saying?
he could be, but I don't. What I'm saying is, I do not think he will be, and he does not think he will be because the people who tried to have him arrested over his breaking of the law on January the 6th, he thumbed his nose at them, and he's won again. He's won the election. So his belief is, I've won the election. I'm allowed to do anything I want to, and there are some things that, he shouldn't be doing already, as we can see. And so far, neither Congress nor the Senate nor the judiciary, which are the sort of three other branches of law and American democracy that should come into play. I mean, some of these executive orders, he hasn't got the right to make those orders because they're things that were decided by Congress. So deciding to withhold the money from Ukraine was a decision. The original money was decided on by Congress. So it should have been Congress that decided to stop it, not Trump saying, we're going to withhold the money. And at no point did Congress make the decision about withholding, intelligence information and all of this sort of thing. So, or withholding access to Maxar imagery, which has been very helpful for the U Ukrainians. I mean, the whole thing is astonishing. However, I do like the sort of the popular movement that then arises, which is, hey, you're imposing this, that, and the other. Well, we're not going to buy your electric vehicles anymore, Mr. Musk, which is quite interesting.
There was apparently an interview in which after the unpaid for commercial on the White House lawn, the Commerce Secretary said, "Please buy Tesla shares," and you get that point, don't you? Where in I think in constitutional law, America is to some extent a corporation, isn't it? Or the American government is deemed to have the same rights as a corporation. You'll have to correct me on this, Graham. I think I'm in muddy waters here, but the corporate logic applied to the individual
Well,
is.
it's corporate personality is an individual.
Yeah.
So the corporation is treated as an individual.
Thank you for
So they have
reminding me.
equal rights. So they can put as much money as they like into a political campaign under freedom of speech. I mean, that's what's destroyed the economy.
Is that right? So that's a fault line then.
Democracy. This is
Yeah.
what destroyed democracy, rather, because you don't have no equal voice left in America. Well, which is the tipping point? The interesting tipping point, I think, is now people are losing real money. And there's a very interesting interview on Newsnight last night with the chief investor in Tesla came on and said Elon Musk has to leave the company.
Yep.
He's not fit person to run the company. So he has
To
to
get the
be
separation of church and state, as it were. Yeah.
he has to be given the sack, you know, from Tesla.
It's not the separation, Andy. It's to do with the fact that the company's doing really badly. And because he's not focused on the company at the moment, is he? He's not focused on SpaceX, he's not focused on Tesla. He's focused on the fact that he's just been let loose by the person who did win the election. And of course, Elon Musk didn't actually win anything. And he's power corrupts, absolute
Well,
power corrupts
contracts of the
absolutely.
government.
And
Yeah.
he's
Yeah,
he he
he's
he
now realized. I mean, there was an interview where he was in tears,
Well,
practically, by saying, you know,
yeah. Takes out onion, as they say in private eye.
he
Yeah,
was
yeah.
asked what he was doing about Tesla, and he didn't have an answer. He didn't know what to say.
In another place, somebody reminded me that Musk himself has diarized his copious drug use, and there's no formal indication in that writing that that's what it is, that this has stopped. So it may well be that we've had him before the cameras high.
Oh.
Yeah, well,
Ketamine
there's
is
plenty of
significant here, I think, and various other things of that extreme ilk.
Blimey.
Talking
Hopefully, it'll
about,
be the Republican Party that reaches its tipping point and does the proper thing. You know, coups don't always win, but they often do, and it's just similar. Because if they don't stop Trump, then they're going to lose democracy for yonks, like Chile or. You name it, you know, all across South America.
Were we here? Mal was of the opinion a couple of weeks ago that he can probably steer a course through all this, and that the forces of moderation will keep safe and under wraps those things he can't possibly get at. But since then,
You
again, the
can't
Department of
modify.
Education is being dismantled, for example.
Yeah. You
Yeah,
can't moderate. You
I don't
can't
think there's.
moderate a coup. This
I
is the
don't think
point.
there's any evidence that American democracy is going to rise back up in the next 4 years. I think we've got a real problem now. I think America is going to turn into, it's not the only country in the world where, a strong man believes that, he's got a God-given right to do whatever he wants. And that seems to, I mean, if you listen to Trump, he definitely thinks he's got a God-given right, that he was saved from being shot when the bullet went through his ear by God, because
He said it.
he's actually
Yeah.
said that. But if you look
Yeah.
at Turkey at the moment, Erdogan, who's been moving towards all that sort of stuff, has just arrested the oh, what's he called? The mayor of Istanbul, who's.
Has he? Because that was the mayor of Istanbul. Sorry to interrupt you. That was the big democratic coup in Turkey, wasn't it? That was thought to be able to weaken Erdogan's power, at least moderate him. Sorry, do carry on.
He just announced that he was going to stand against Erdogan in the next
Yes.
presidential election. And 2 days after he made that announcement, he was arrested. And of course, Istanbul has always not voted for Erdogan. Erdogan's main
To Austin, Texas.
power base has been the areas outside of the metropolis. And all the sort of very rural regions, which he's been careful to ensure that largesse has arrived,
Yes.
effectively has bribed people to continue to support the wonderful Erdogan.
The
So I
same
think
largesse distributed to the people who put those buildings up that collapsed in the earthquake.
that's exactly largesse, particularly to people like that.
Yes.
So we've now got Belarus with a leader who's clearly. Faked elections. Vladimir Putin, who, I mean, it was hilarious that Trump called Volodymyr Zelensky a dictator and said, and there hadn't been elections. Well, when does he actually think there were last free and fair
Did I say
elections?
that? Yeah.
When were the last free and fair elections in Russia discussed? I mean, I don't think
Yeah.
they probably have never been free and fair elections in Russia, and certainly not recently. I mean, Putin's elections have been just completely bogus. And opposition leaders in Russia, we know what happens to all of them. I mean, they get poisoned, they get
Oh,
all
I
those
have a
people,
slight cold. Yeah.
they fall out of hospital windows. That's another
Yes.
terrible fate
Yes.
people have suffered. It's bizarre, isn't it? All those hospital windows.
Indeed. Something dodgy in the Kool-Aid, methinks. Could we turn our attention to the Soho Society, population 2,000, formerly 30,000? A piece in the Standard this past week about the sanitisation of Soho. The last time I was on an errand which was rather inconclusive of a Friday night, was sort of very young people being quite exuberant, quite noisy. But this all stops when it's cocoa time, and one of the denizens of Ronnie's, I think, particularly in connection with the fact that the Blue Note Club, one of the sort of global jazz franchises, isn't going to be able to open because Westminster Council says it's got to shut up shop by 11 o'clock, because that's against the corporate policy and indeed arguably against the nature of the music. The Soho not being what it was, is that inevitably the result of cultural trends and fashion and COVID and what have you? Or is there actually a concerted campaign to against, as it were, the bohemian?
Is the
I mean,
misapplication?
I think that's, I mean, it the local licensing policy comes down to Westminster, so it will depend on who is on the licensing committee, and the Mayor of London to support the ongoing survival of live music has introduced something called the Agent for Change, which is if something was already there creating a noise, so for example, a nightclub or a pub with a late license or whatever it is,
A lot of this is
was
about noise, admittedly, yes, and properties that cost £1.5 million.
but it was there before you bought your, because we've had a whole series of people moving in next door to, I don't know, a club or a nightclub or something that creates a late night noise, and then trying to make noise complaints. And the bottom line is,
Successful, yeah.
if you moved in after the entity was already there, then you do not have the right to try and complain because it was there first. And when you moved in, caveat emptor and all that, you should have done your research and found out that there was a noisy nightclub next door.
Sort of Trump for
So,
belly by Congress.
yeah, so the licensing committee in Westminster doesn't have to make these decisions. There's nothing to stop them from supporting clubs. I mean, they could still talk to them about ameliorating noise and such like, but there's absolutely no reason why they should be having a blanket ban on licensing premises to stay open later than 11:15. That is ridiculous. I mean, most local authorities have a sort of an area of nighttime economy, and I think Soho would be described as an area of nighttime economy. They've been trying to support the nighttime economy in most places, and the mayor has been doing that. Although the Night Czar has now parted company with City Hall, but we've actually had a member of staff who was focused on trying to keep the nighttime economy going across London.
And the author of the
So,
piece talks about the fact that a number of major cities make this work, and the city that never sleeps being one, I suppose, literally. But that's what London used to be.
swinging
Well,
London.
the leading
Anyway.
case is a very clear case where someone moved in next to a church and then complained about the bell ringing. And the judge said, you knew the church rang its bells. You bought the house, so you have to live with it.
I mean, it's just ludicrous for people to do that and then complain afterwards.
But the thing is that they do successfully, don't they? And it's that Graham's very witty and apposite comparison is quite picked up on by as you say, by the due consideration of licensing committees in some cases. One of the points made in the article is that the Met has weighed in favour, for example, of quiet nights and neurodiversity, which on the face of it seems like a very good idea, saying that once you get these people in, won't they be at greater risk from the levelers to crime that's already there? So
But
that strikes me as a slightly pernicious argument.
oh, for goodness sake. I mean, well, I think the best thing to do is just to stay at home, wrap yourself up in cotton wool, stick earbuds in your ears, so that you can't hear anything at all, and then nothing will bother you. I mean, that is a ridiculous argument. I mean, be careful when you go out so that you don't suffer street crime. Be sensible, but the idea that, nobody should be allowed to, have several premises together or an exciting part of town where, I mean, obviously, if it attracts many people who are out to have fun, it will also attract people who are going to try and steal from them. But, you just have to be sensible on a night out. I mean, that is just such a ludicrous argument. It's not worth entertaining.
Well, but there it was, and
Slightly.
you know, there it was being argued at committee level, apparently. And I'm not knocking these august people. It's just that I suppose, in a sense, the trope is, isn't it, is that these things become middle-aged and become, in quotes, sensible, and the sense of actually having to, as it were, sow your wild oats grows ever more distant. But the argument of the article is that this is actually soft core censor against hedonism of any kind, and that's presumably is going to have psychological effects down the pike if people
Well,
don't have a release.
it does sound like that, Andy. It sounds as though they should all go home and have a nice cup of cocoa with their earbuds in,
Well, indeed, and think of the effects on the birth rate as well. If the were cocoa to be publicly endorsed.
mean,
Mrs. Trellis is blanching.
yeah. Well, I'm not surprised.
Graham, do you...
I'm not surprised. I mean, Andy, you make us all blanch, but Mrs. Trellis
I'm
particularly.
sorry, this ungodly hour of the morning.
I know.
Guys, thank you very much indeed. See you next time. Have a great weekend.
And you, bye.
Andrew.